Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Hey guys, welcome back to Baby Name Envy, the podcast that solves the nation's baby name dilemmas, because there's nothing so hard as choosing a name you're going to love literally for the rest of your life. And don't we know it, Naomi?
Don't we know it?
So I'm here with my sister, who is my co-host. Today we're going to be chatting to our first ever guest, and we're also answering a bumper load of your dilemmas. I've put so much thought into them now.
Yeah, you have. They're brilliant. Honestly, it's a really good episode. I'm really excited about it.
How did you find picking the name? Did you have a feeling, is what we're kind of talking about today. Did you have a kind of almost a sensorial kind of reaction or premonition?
Yeah, and like we've talked about before, when the name suddenly lands, when is your eureka moment? And do you ever get that eureka moment, or do you only get it when you're holding the baby? Because you've done a consultation this week for someone, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
And she's still hasn't named the baby and is calling the baby a different name each day.
Yeah,
so she's just
so
waiting for that moment.
Yeah, so she basically, baby's 3 days old.
Amazing.
I got to meet the baby yesterday. Basically, we've got about 4 or 5 names, and every day she's trying a different one. So she's done Eliana, Elena, and I think today she's doing Celeste.
Brilliant.
So yeah, she's so lovely. So she won the giveaway for rating and reviewing the podcast.
Yes.
And baby's already here, so it's loads of fun. And I think that's a bit of a pressure. People are like, I want to fall in love. I don't want just a name that is kind of like, you want that lightning bolt moment, don't you?
Yeah, you really do. And I'm not sure we ever really get it, but they do start to embody a name, like we've talked about before. Well, I have the weird scenario, and it's more to do with the gender, that I never knew what baby I was having, like a girl or a boy. I couldn't have called it. Even with the second one, when it was another girl, I just didn't know. I was completely, had no idea. Anyway, my husband, who is not at all this way inclined, for example, we do not talk about our dreams.
Oh.
We don't think we're psychic or particularly think alike. But he said to
me,
"Do you know?
I can just see you.
No,
what did you dream about last night?"
No, we're really not that in depth. I don't know. I don't know if people do that. Let us know if you do. But he actually said to me, he'd had a dream and he knew that we were having two girls, and one would be blonde and one would be dark. And he'd seen them sat at the table crafting with his mum. Well, at the time, I just thought, what a load of baloney.
In a dream, or like a vision.
Totally had a dream and had dreamt them. And he kept saying, and he was so adamant on it, that when we were even going, you know, to have scans, one of the millions of extra scans that I would have paid for, 4D, 3D, who knows what D, I was in
got
that.
Got the key ring, I was, got the teddy with the heartbeat in it.
It kept me going, I tell you, seeing that lovely baby. And he used to say, yeah, well, I know it's these two girls. And it really threw me, to the point that when we were coming up with names, my eldest is called Summer and was born in the summertime. And he had and he had said to me, this blonde and dark girl. And I thought, oh, it's going to be so cool because she's going to have long, dark hair. And then the irony of her being Summer. And I thought that was added to the coolness for me.
Yeah.
Lo and behold, she's the eldest. She's blonde. And then I do have a daughter who's dark and smaller. And that's what he said to me, that the youngest one is smaller.
So strange.
So weird.
So I have had my light bulb moments, but I can remember the exact moment I heard each of my children's names before I had them.
No.
So I remember exact moment.
You've got such a good memory. Tell us that.
I know, I was going to say, your memory is shocking.
Yeah, my memory is terrible.
So, well, the first one's not so weird because it was, well, the first name I ever heard was Finn, which is my second son's name. So I was at work. I remember the exact room I was in, sat in the office. This guy said to me, talking about his kids for some reason, wasn't even pregnant. No. And he was like, my son's called Finn. And I was like, oh my God, I absolutely love that name. And I thought it sort of banked, you know, like it rolled in. And I was like, yes, love it. But then I was speaking to Henrik. We didn't talk about baby names. Can you imagine that? Before I got married
now
to Henrik. I can't imagine that. I remember exactly where we were. We were in a restaurant, west coast of Sweden, having a pizza on our honeymoon, our second bit of our honeymoon, which was in Sweden. And I said, what names do you like? And he was like, Frederick and Josephine. And obviously you remember that type of conversation, so it's not as weird, but I was a bit gutted because I thought, oh, don't think I like either. And then with Evelina, I heard it first in Sweden. They were like, this is Kalle's new girlfriend, Evelina. Straight away, I was like,
got it.
It was just, that's it. That was my name.
You had your moment.
I remember it really, really clearly.
I think you're really lucky to have had that. I think that people are striving for that. And I think that what we're hearing feedback from the podcast is that people are listening, thinking, I need to hear my name.
And I've got there to hear it. That's maybe why I'm so good at finding the one. I really believe in finding the one. But we are going to be having our first guest in a minute because she's somebody who watches my channel and thinks that maybe I have the same condition that she has. And I'm pretty much, like my friend's husband, decided that I've now diagnosed myself with this condition, which I can't say, but it's something like synesthesia. So we heard about this first. Well, I heard about this first on TikTok. So the guy who can taste words. So for people with this condition, which I cannot say, I would put it on screen if this is YouTube, but she is the person who's dining in. She has done her degree in this condition.
So an expert.
She has this condition. This is her honours degree. Wow. She's the expert on this in the country. And she can see words visually. Wow. And they have a texture, they have a colour, they have a pattern sometimes.
My goodness.
And she can see music and all crazy things like this. So we're going to have a chat with her now. We're going to dial her in. She's going to give us a little mini quiz and see if we, either of us, I'd be very shocked.
I think it's like a superpower, this. I really do. If only we could say the name of it.
If only we knew what it was we were talking about. That would help us. For a name podcast, we do not know the name. So let's call in Ailish. I am going to give her a ring right now. And she's going to explain it much better than we just have. And we're going to see, do you guys believe in this or not? Do you have it, maybe? So let's give her a call.
We actually put it out on our stories on Instagram. And we had quite a few replies and people saying that maybe sort of quite limited words they felt that they had it.
Really?
So that's really, I thought that was quite interesting.
Let's see what she tells us about it.
Oh?
Hi, it's SJ and Naomi.
Hi,
SJ and Naomi. How are you doing?
We are really good. So we're recording the podcast, as you know, and I've been trying to say the name of, is it synesthesia?
That's it. Yeah, that's it. Synesthesia.
So we're talking to Ailish. We went to the same university.
We did. Kent Uni represent.
Now look at us, podcasters. You know, that's what we went there for.
Exactly. And you're in their alumni.
Yes. Yeah, we should be. They'll have us back once this goes viral on the internet. So you actually studied this. So tell us more about it because we're so fascinated.
Of course. So synesthesia, the actual name itself, because I know you're well into your name meanings and everything.
Yeah.
It literally means the joining or the union of the senses. So it's a neurological condition. A lot of people think it's a disorder, but it's actually more like a trait, like if you have brown hair or green eyes. So it's a condition or a trait that means an individual experiences two or more of the senses at the same time, and then they become merged together. So you end up experiencing multiple senses at the same time.
Wow.
And they're automatic as well. So, and they're quite involuntary. So some people will see colours when they hear sounds. Some might taste words or see shapes when they're eating.
Wow. How funny. So, well, so they would eat. So say you're eating like mashed potato, it would have a difference. You'd have a second sense where you would be seeing shapes, colours.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it depends on the individual. So everyone sees different things and different senses for different stimuli. But yeah, a lot of people, they might, it might be the texture, but the colour that they don't like. They might not mind mashed potato, but the colour it gives them is the thing that puts them off it.
And is
it
something you'd be born with? And then you sort of slowly realise that you're experiencing something that not everyone else is going...
Exactly that.
Gosh.
Exactly that.
So how did it happen for you? Yeah.
I was 17 when I realised that everyone else kind of didn't see that. I was really tired one day. And you know when you go, it's Monday, isn't it? To your family. And they go, yeah, it's Monday. And I just said, oh, left is yellow, isn't it? And my mum looked at me like I was talking French. She was like, what do you mean left is yellow?
Yeah.
And I said, left is yellow and right is red. And then she was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So I Googled it and kind of fell down a rabbit hole of this whole condition I didn't realise actually built up the whole way I processed the world.
Wow.
And informed absolutely everything from what I listen to, from what I eat to what I see. Everything is, all my senses are joined together. And I had to get my head around the fact that not everyone
was thinking the same.
Interesting. When your mum looks back, when you sort of discussed it, did she say, yeah, you've always had that and I can see it now? Did she sort of, both of you, have a eureka moment?
Absolutely. Do you know what? It was exactly that. We kind of were retracing my whole timeline, actually, of moments when I was younger, where a lot of people thought maybe my behaviours were being difficult, but the colours for me weren't right. So certain foods, if I at playgroup, they gave it to me on coloured plates, but the food that I ate, the colours that it gave me didn't match the coloured plates.
So interesting.
And it was really stressful. So people just thought I was being a little bit difficult as a child, but my mum always was amazing with me and was really patient and helped me work it out and vocalise exactly what
was going
made
on.
Me anxious. Yeah, so we did have a eureka moment, really, when I was 17 at school.
And how does this work with names, then? Because I know that you follow the channel.
I do.
And love baby names as well. And I wonder, is that because names, are they sort of more sensory to you? Because I feel like, obviously, names for me are very, there's something in it for me. So we're going to do a little quiz in a minute, but tell me how are names for you. I'm going to ask you, then we're going to ask you some specific names.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, no problem. So actually, the reason that I was really drawn to your channel is I felt like when you spoke about names, it was really instinctive. You had a real feel for them, and I think I kind of identified in your passion for names. So
I think I've got when, it. I've got
you've
it.
You've clocked it. You've had your eureka moment as well.
Yeah, looking back on my life.
Exactly. So, I mean, for me, the colour, the texture, and the sensory experience I get from a name is what I focus on. So I've not had to name a child or anything, but I've had to name a fair few dogs. and so I've sort of almost, before I've even met the dog, I've had to fulfill a tick list of kind of what I'd want from a name. So my newest dog that we got 3 years ago, he's called Wilbur.
Oh, lovely.
I sought out the feeling I wanted from the name, the texture, all the elements, and then I had to go through almost like a Rolodex of names until something clicked into that.
So what is he? Yeah. What's Wilbur then?
So Wilbur's a lovely rounded name. The W almost is like rabbit ears. That's what it feels like. His name is like a kind of really gentle blue, but with light grey shadows. And whenever I see his name, it's over a stream. And the texture of it, and when I say it, it's such a multi-sensory experience that actually it took a while to find his name. And then when I did, I was like, oh, okay, now I can relax because it fits. Exactly,
but I can imagine that. I can
such
imagine
lovely,
that to me because if I'm looking at a name, if I put a picture next to a name and it was wrong, it would look really wrong to me. Like, it's not random. So when I'm pairing names, like in the podcast even, some that I've written down, it's like siblings. I'm like, this name is like... a stone structure, so it would match like a water structure, and then they would go together because they, to me, looks like they're sort of a place. I can visualise this place when
and
I see the two names.
And a lot of feedback we get is that people really like that side of when you're naming. So it's really interesting. I wonder if really quite a few people have got it and don't realise. Yeah.
So let's give you some names.
That is such a huge thing. Yeah, people not realising that they've got it, and it actually is informing their preferences to things, their likes and dislikes, but they just don't realise because it's quite invisible.
I think what I want to do, we're going to give you a quiz, then we're all going to test us, but then what we'll do is we'll make a little download for the website where people can go through. So if people like, my husband likes this, but it's just not quite right, it could be like the sensory side. So first of all, tell us, what do these names look like to you so we can really get an understanding? Okay. So what about Aurelius?
So, it's one of those names that kind of instantly, like, it makes my forearms warm. So, you know, when you drink a slightly too hot tea, but it's perfect when you're cold, I can feel that in my forearms. And the A and the U and the R starts off as a really, really bright, warm red. And it, the gradient of the name, it goes into orange in the middle with the R and the E and the L. And then actually it ends up in a yellow, and the name feels like I'm holding warm metal in the palms of my hands. So it's a really like fulfilling, lovely name.
But so for stress, you're just like Aurelius.
I know.
And then you're just totally calm.
Sometimes I'll say a name to my family and I'll be like, wow, it tastes like caramel, it's amazing. And it's actually just Roy. And my mum's like, that's not, you can't use that for this or that. So Aurelius is one of those names that just is such a multi-sensory experience. Like, it's so warm.
What about you, Nay? You've got some names.
Yeah. So what about this one? So Pippin.
Pippin's one that actually, it kind of, it's got such a motion to it. So if I had to try and describe it, it would be the feeling of stepping stones across the stream. So each kind of, as I go through the word, it's like I can feel the impact on my legs jumping across stepping stones, and it's kind of gradiented with like different greens and greys. It's a really beautiful
name. Would you say like it's playful? Because I would say that's a playful name.
I would.
I think that's a lot to do with the kind of motion, like when you're jumping on stepping stones.
Yeah,
you can't have fun.
I can
so,
get that.
So yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
So what about Sarah Jane?
Sarah Jane, do you know what? Sarah Jane is one of those names that has a really strong taste. And it tastes like, you know, those sweets that you would get at a tuck shop, where it's like the fruit salad ones.
Oh, right. Like, I do. It's kind of like a chew-it.
Or if you were like a chew-it, exactly like a chew-it.
Oh, I know, fruit salads. You mean the tempeh one from the tuck shop?
Yeah, the tuck shop.
I was expecting.
Yeah, not a blackjack.
But no, but that's funny because guess what? But this is a funny fact I've just remembered. When my mum was pregnant with me, she was addicted to jelly babies.
Yes, she was.
And that's quite a similar taste, isn't it? Because those fruit salads taste almost soapy, and so do jelly babies to me. I don't know if soapy is the right word. Chalky. They're kind of similar. So she was addicted to those. Maybe.
Yeah.
So what about the name Naomi?
Oh.
Naomi is
a cheap diamond white cider.
No.
I'm just not reacting. I'm just totally absorbing this superpower, and I'm not going to rise to that, SJ.
Do you know what? Naomi is one of those names that has a really strong texture.
Oh,
and
yes.
It's like really like gently tempered like mahogany.
Oh.
So kind of you. I can see the knots and like the dark brown parts in it, but it's a lovely kind of warm mahogany colour. And I can, like when you run your hand along a tree trunk, but it's really smooth. So Naomi's a really lovely, satisfying name, actually.
Oh,
as well.
I'm getting a nice, strong name from that. That's lovely
cottage
description.
Yeah, yeah, that is really nice description. I think it's a bit better than a fruit salad chew it.
Do you like your name?
I've always struggled a bit with my name because people at school could never pronounce it. And it's actually changed colour as I've grown up. Changed colour. So when I was younger, it was green. It was a really strong, vibrant forest green. But as I've gotten older, it's a really pastel red. So sometimes like people will say my name and I'll feel a bit kind of, you know, anxious about it because I'm like, oh gosh, it's a very strange name for some people.
Yeah.
But actually it's quite calming to have it as a calming colour. So when I see it written down, it isn't a source of anxiety, which sounds a bit strange, but
no, it
that's
doesn't.
Kind of the influence of the colour for it as well.
But it could be why people react to certain names so strongly as well. So let's do the little quiz. And what we'll do is we'd love to take anyone who wants to ask a question, put your name down or two question names. We will sort of do some follow-ups. But
definitely.
Let's do the little quiz because I'm interested to see who's got it more, me or my sister.
Absolutely. Okay, so I was doing a bit of research And I found that there was an auditory mapping exercise that was developed in the 20s that actually was used by neurologists to try and detect or kind of simulate synesthesia. So I want you to close your eyes and imagine a shape like a cloud, how you draw a cloud at school, or a sheep, whatever's easiest for you to imagine. And then next to that shape, do a really jagged version, like a punk sheep. So there's no circular motifs there. It's all just jagged. Yeah. And I'm going to give you a bit of each sense and two words per sense. And I want you to tell me where those words belong, to which shape they belong. And in keeping with the podcast, I've thrown a few names in there, of course.
Brilliant.
So the word kiki and the word baluba, which word belongs to which shape?
Who's going to go first?
So you can go now.
Okay, so I'd have kiki in the sort of the pow. The spiky one. Mm-hmm. And baluba in the softer cloud.
Okay. What about you, SJ?
Yeah, same.
You're the same. Okay, so some similar ones. So I've got the name Barnaby and the name Kit. Where would you put those two names?
Okay, I'd go Kit again in the stronger, the spiky one. And
Barnaby
in the softer one.
In the softer one. Mm. So I'm going to change it a little bit. So what about taste? So if you imagine tasting something sweet and tasting something sour, which shape would you put those two sensations on?
You go, SJ.
You go, Nay. You go. You take it.
I'll go sweet into the fluffy one and sour into the spiky one.
Yeah, I don't...
Okay.
I guess I would maybe, but I'm also feeling for me they're maybe both a bit spiky, but maybe because I don't have a sweet tooth.
Or maybe you just really want to have this condition over me.
Well, I don't see that sweet to me wouldn't go, but in a bubbly cloud.
That's a good point, actually. That's something
I don't feel like that would go into that for me, but they're a little bit more edging towards a spiky flash.
Oh. Right. Okay. So what about smell? So what about the smell of honey and the smell of lemon? Where would you put those two?
Yeah. Okay.
Lemon in the spiky and honey in the soft.
Yes.
So basically what you've just done there is you've done what the neurologist, there's a neurologist called Richard Krajcevich, and he said that synesthesia is essentially finding the similar in the dissimilar. So you've managed to find a commonality between a shape and a sense that I've given you, and there's been no kind of necessary connection between the two. It's all about the way that you sounded it and the way you felt it and the way you've recalled that sense.
Yeah.
And it's almost like how we use synesthetic language every single day. It's like a metaphor. So you say, oh, she was a sweet lady. Yes. Oh, I'm having a really blue day. But the lady isn't actually physically sweet, and the day might not be blue unless it's sunny, or she's wearing a really loud shirt. She's not, it's just bright.
Oh, yes.
So you're merging your senses together. And actually, you both have sort of shown that it's really, it is possible for people to associate, you know, senses that are completely unrelated to one another, but you can find a commonality between them.
Yes.
So for someone with synesthesia, that happens, but it's completely random, and it's kind of on a randomizer all the time. But the way for an individual to kind of actually test if they have synesthesia, which you can do as well, it might take a little while, but the longer you leave it, the more kind of solid your results will be, is if you just write the alphabet down and then the colors you associate with each letter, and you leave it for a month, and then you come back and you do another one, and if you compare the two and your colors are the same. Then then there's a huge possibility you've actually got synesthesia.
This is so interesting. And I think that for parents that would probably be listening to the podcast, that's a really simple exercise they could do with children, for example. So if you felt that children were being difficult, like you were saying, identifying, you know, with food, that's a really simple test that they could do, and quite an enjoyable one. I think the children would get quite behind that. I mean, I think that one of my children would be quite into that, and one of them probably wouldn't be able to do that yet, or just wouldn't be able to do it, doesn't have those senses.
If they like soft food and the texture, and you can imagine the cloud and the spiky.
Exactly.
But then you go, actually, they like this soft food. They might like more soft things. And then you put them a bit more, if they're struggling with something else, it might be like they'll also enjoy bubble baths. Or I don't know what I mean, but you can follow, I get exactly what you mean.
Can
be that type of a person and you can follow. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us today. We will definitely follow up.
Or can I ask one more question?
Oh, go on then.
Absolutely. Do you think with your, with this condition, I can't say it, I'm so sorry, I'm really struggling and dancing around it, yes? Do you think you will find it harder to name a baby or a child?
I think it would in the sense that me negotiating with someone would be really difficult because my criteria would be very narrow or very specific.
Yes.
And the name had to fit that. So if I had to negotiate with someone, it would probably be quite difficult for us to come to an agreement.
It is anyway. I think that gives you
double points. double things. Like I couldn't possibly use that name.
No, not with my condition.
Because of my extra senses.
I'll use that.
Yeah. I'm just on a higher sensorial level.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much. Honestly, that was so interesting. I think everyone will be so fascinated. Yeah, thank you.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for asking me to come on and for listening to me ramble on about it.
You're brilliant.
It's fascinating. We can't wait to see if we've got it. All right, well, we'll speak again soon. Have a lovely day.
Thank you so much.
Bye. God, that was brilliant, wasn't it? Didn't you just love doing that quiz? I think we've definitely got it.
I think it shows how clear, like when she was saying about a loud t-shirt or and the plates and the colours and why people do react so much for that. Definitely feel like I'm on that level.
Definitely. And even when you're just having a conversation with your partner or whoever about naming your child, it is quite irritating when someone has quite a strong aversion to a name, isn't it? I mean, I remember being really irritated by a few names that I really did love. Yeah. So it's just, it even adds depth to that. It's not that we're just vetoing names. We do have different emotions, not just associations.
So it's kind of like, what colour does this bring up to you? What pattern?
Oh my goodness. Oh, well, let's get on to the dilemmas. Level.
Now I feel like I'm going to need to re-go through all of my answers, but we do have some really interesting, in-depth dilemmas sent in from everybody to go through.
Okay. Hi, we have a dilemma we'd love help with. We are about to have our first baby, a girl, due in June. Up to now, we've nicknamed her Sesame. One of our apps said that she was the size of a sesame seed once upon a time, and it has stuck. Oh, we don't want to call her that.
Yes, you do.
But I'm wondering if there's anything that has similar sounds. For context, other names we quite like are Isabel, Elida, Louisa.
Because they sound like sesame. So you were like this, you named your bump and it is people's pet peeve. And my bump, my friends were really mean and nicknamed it the eyeball. because I absolutely hate eyeballs.
Yeah.
I'm like, when I die, they can have my entire organs. But if anyone touches my eyeballs, I hate eyeballs. So my friends found it really funny to remind me all the time that I was growing 2 pairs of eyeballs. So I don't know what I would have called
it. We need to remember that one. Bank the eyeball jokes for SJ.
But the thing is, it's dangerous having a nickname for a bump because they do stick.
Oh, I know. But I've not heard sesame seed before. I mean, when is it that size? Like,
that's really early on, isn't it?
Obviously, I wanted to say sperm. I mean, it's practically that size, isn't it? Like, when are we at that?
So what did you call me? Well,
sperm.
Little wriggler.
Oh, God. What did you come up with for that? Because it's quite a difficult name. Well, sesame.
Well, there's a really obvious one, which is Cecily.
Yeah, okay.
So
yes.
I think in some cultures they even say Cicely when they say this name. So it's Cicily.
Oh.
I'll just give you the chance to say you like the nickname Cici.
I do. I really like the name. Yeah.
And it's a really pretty name, actually. It's aromatic white flowered plant.
Yeah, lovely.
So it's a plant name, nature, led, and it's the feminine form of Cecil. But actually, she was a saint, and she was the patron saint of musicians.
Oh, that's lovely.
So that might mean something to them. Yes. Everyone, like, I'm so into music.
Yeah.
It's like, are you really? Do you just listen to a bit of Take That in the car?
Like the rest of us.
So that's the really obvious one, is Cecily, and it's very similar to Sesame. So
it
she
is.
Can be Cecily, and then you can nickname her Sesame.
Yes.
And I guess it was a really special moment to them, and it must have been a little private before people knew.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
There is the island, which is Sicily as well. And actually, that was given to 29 girls last year.
Lovely.
So coming up after like Florence and all of those sort of place names.
Interesting.
But I did think for you and I, it reminds me, Sesame, it's a little bit like our name, Sanaomi.
Oh, yeah. Which, you know, we need to quickly brand that.
When we used to do karaoke.
That's our pop star name.
That was our band name from the one time we did karaoke.
So if you want to steal it.
So anyone can have Sanaomi from us. But yeah, I think Cecily's really pretty.
So do I. I think it's lovely. And you can just always have that nickname, Sesame. I mean, do not go with Sesame. Should we just put that out there? I think that's not a really good food name. There's others.
There's better.
There is better.
There is better.
There is better. Okay. We're looking for a sibling name for Ivy Elizabeth. Surname is, drumroll, Parrot. We're having a baby girl. My husband really likes the names Seren and Astrid. So do I. But I think there are too many R's with Parrot.
He's
and
got
I'm not
good
sure
names.
What the nickname would be. Hasn't he got good names? We both like Freya and the middle name yeah. Rose. So do I. But I saw on your Scotland
list. Do you like
list,
Parrot, Nay, as well?
Yeah, I'm not so keen on Parrot, but I just would drop it and
what
use all these other wonderful
Parrot
names.
Giving you?
Wow. I'm thinking green. Okay, so we saw your Scotland list that Freya is very popular now. It was, wasn't it? Mm. Also, any ideas on the nickname for Freya? I was so sure on Ivy on my last pregnancy, but this time I'm completely stuck and indecisive.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's awful when that happens, isn't it? God, it's so much harder with a sibling, and that is something that comes through all the time when we're asked for help on the Instagram. It gets harder and harder, it really does.
On the old Instagram. Well, I don't know about Freya. Freya has become really popular. It's a Norse goddess name, and it's just got that nice softness with the F names. Obviously, I do like an F name, and now I'm questioning why, because it obviously looks like something to me. But I wasn't sure about Freya Parrot because it sounds a little bit like you're saying, I'm going to free a parrot.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Like
yeah.
Freya Parrot. It just, yes. It flows too well.
Yes.
Do you think?
Yeah, no, it does. It does. You really have to work backwards almost with this naming, don't you? It's not what you like. It's almost going to have to be just practical of what works with.
Yeah. I mean,
Parrot.
You can always make a joke when you've got a word in your name somewhere, but I don't know that Freya Parrot.
Obviously, I now want to do an impression of a parrot.
Do you?
I don't know if I can
Freya.
Do it.
So Naomi's back, and our first hit is going to be.
I just had to do it. I had to do it.
Why?
I don't know. I just got parrot in my head.
Just had to
do the bird impression.
Well, actually, the surname came from a French name, Pierre and Peter. So it actually had a kind of a surname as first name kind of background, and it's been adapted into Parrot as a name. So Parrot, the name, doesn't necessarily, so you can retract that.
Parrot?
Because actually it's tracing back to France. But I did have a really nice name that I liked for her, because I did get into a bit of the freeing the parrot idea. Here's the name, Linnea. So I talked about this name before. It's spelled Linnea. So it rhymes with Freya, but it's Linnea.
Yes,
and
nice.
It is a Swedish name as well. It is a beautifully rare floral name. It's actually named after the Swedish botanist whose last name was Linnaeus. And it's known as the twin flower. So my friend who has Linnea is because they're twin, boy-girl twins.
Oh,
so
lovely.
She's got Linnea.
Yeah.
And I think it's so pretty.
Really nice.
It's spelled like Linnea, Linnea. Mm. So then I think if you go Freya Parrot, sort of sounds wordy, but if you go Linnea Parrot,
yeah, it sounds lovely.
It's a little bit
really nice.
Somehow works nice,
and it's not popular, is it? Because the thing here is that Freya is rising up the charts, and my children are 8 and 6, and I would say to you at the school gates there are a few Freyas now.
Definitely.
It's a name that's
and
it is
have
used.
A great nickname, whereas Linnea also
Linny.
Yeah, it's quite sweet. Even like a Noah or something like that. So it's quite a sweet name, and it's so much more unique. And she seemed to be wanting unique. And I thought, imagine Ivy and Linnea, because they're both botanical floral types of names.
What you need to do is keep saying it over and over again like a parrot and see if it sticks. I'm thrilled with that joke. Like, thrilled.
So, your face, you
can
like
we
that.
Just clock off now? Because I've peaked.
Next time she does that, I'm about to do a joke face. I will. Just talk
Give
really
the
loud.
Heads up.
The only other name I wrote down, because I really liked Ivy and Linnea, and I like the botanical kind of theme with the parrot. But I did also write down the name Enid. Because I just think it's a really underused name, like Enid Blyton. And I thought Ivy and Enid suddenly takes it down a real vintage kind of vibe, doesn't it? A little bit more than Ivy and Linnea. It's Welsh. It means life and spirit. So really lovely. She was also a Celtic goddess. So I was looking at goddess names when I found Enid, because Freya is a goddess.
Because it's Seren, the one name that her husband likes, is that Welsh? Because that means, yeah, does that mean star?
It does. Mm. Good link back.
I know.
I was just about to say that as well.
Were you?
But it sounds a little bit pretty. And then you've got some sort of, so many names, like Ella, Etta, Evie, all those E names are really popular.
Yes.
Enid, a bit like Ivy, is also really popular. It's a little bit of an offbeat name.
Yeah, I think it really is. And then don't ignore Astrid, that your husband likes, because I think that that is a beautiful name. So Astrid Parrot does work as well. But I think I like Linnea.
Said like my God.
Should we move on? Because I've got
yes,
to be able to,
please.
I'm not going to be able to stop.
You do. Glad that Naomi isn't in your daughter's class, because she'd be the one taking the piss out of the name nonstop. Good time we're not a teacher. Nobody would take the mic. Then her name, Linnea. Oh my goodness. Okay. So the next dilemma. My husband hates all names.
Oh,
I'm so sorry for her.
I feel so sorry for her. What a nightmare. He probably just likes someone he fancied names. Like, my husband really liked the name Rachel, but it was just Rachel from Friends.
From Friends, yeah. So you're reading this one
out. Okay. I hope you are both doing well. The reason I'm contacting you is because I am desperate need for some help to name my baby boy, who is due in June. I've pretty much given up on trying to find names now, as I'm at the end of my tether.
We've all been fed up.
My partner and I already have a little girl called Everly. We would love a name that would flow well and sound fun with her name. However, my partner is very fussy with names and does not like many. The two names he does like are Alistair and Robert.
Yeah,
no
he
matter
likes
how
two.
Hard I try, I just cannot warm up to Alistair. Neither can I, actually. I like the nickname Robbie if I were to use Robert, but my partner doesn't have a babe.
Doesn't want a baby boy to have a nickname.
No, well.
He's being very limited in his options.
Well, she likes Ezra, Archie, Logan and August. However, you've probably guessed it, my partner has vetoed them all.
Gosh.
I feel like I am terrible at picking nice boys' names. I don't feel a connection with any of them the way I did with my daughter's name, if that makes sense. I hope you are able to help me and look forward to hearing from you. Oh, she is in a muddle, isn't she? This is really difficult. You just can't agree on a name.
Some people do find either girl names or boy names super duper hard.
Yeah.
And I think if he's putting two names on the table, which, I mean, I wouldn't be jumping out of my seat about Alistair and Robert.
Oh, no, no.
Oh, no.
No.
So they're quite low down. So I was really confused, because it's not really giving us much that he does like apart from those two names. And I was thinking, actually, the only thing going for it is to look at a little bit where they rank, because he obviously is going away from the more trendy names that she likes. So Alistair's at number 459. Robert's actually a little higher at number 115. So what I did, because I was so flummoxed, I basically calculated the number between the two names on the chart.
Wow, yes.
So I thought, I'll go in middle.
Yeah, reasoning.
Bit more popular than an Alistair, a bit less than a Robert. What is this guy's style? Because I just cannot figure him out. And it's number 287. 287 on the list is the name Teddy.
Oh, bingo.
Well, that's what I thought, but he doesn't want a nickname. So Edward is really nice. And I did think that Everly and Edward sounds so
lovely.
Cute together. So he could. There's also an equal spot at 259, which is Hamish, which is Scottish for James. But, and Alistair's kind of got that Celtic vibe. He might like Hamish, but it's very, it's very of that area. So if you don't have associations, it might be strange. So what you could do, I thought, with Robert, try him with Rupert. Rupert, I do think, is trendier and it doesn't have the nicknames. So I knew a guy called Rupert and his nickname was, well, as I said that, his nickname was Roo.
Yes,
but I thought he was super cool. Yes. Like, we were at uni and I was like, oh, Roo. Yeah, he's trendy. And I think Rupert, what do you think of Rupert versus Robert? Do you think they're similar?
I much prefer Rupert. The other thing I was going to say is with Edward, the compromise there could be that there are lots of abbreviations of Edward. So maybe there's one you could agree on. Eddie, Ted, Teddy. I mean, and there's a few more, isn't there, as well? I think we've covered it.
It's
before.
Not a nickname name. It is a name with nickname options.
Exactly. So that might be the way to go, is to go, look, between us, we've got a name that we like. But Rupert with Everly sounds nice as well.
It
sounds a bit more modern.
It does. It makes Everly, it's on the same level as Everly.
It is. I think they sound really good together. I think that's a really good name for them.
And then for Alistair, the other flip could be Arthur, which is really, really popular, but it is on that different vibe. So I felt exactly like you just said. So I feel like Everly and Arthur, Everly is a really rising name. Arthur's a really rising name.
Yes.
So they are on a level with each other. But then you get Everly and Rupert. They're a little bit more almost vintage and offbeat together. So the
really
two
nice.
Pairings take you down different roads. But I hope he likes either of those.
I hope he likes it. And also, I think you've done really well with Everly, because he obviously does compromise, because that is an up-and-coming name, I would say. That isn't sort of a name that he had schoolmates called. We didn't have that. Okay, another great dilemma. Three adoptions and a baby later. Hi, SJ and Naomi. My name is Anna. My kid's name is Josh. Is it Josie? Sorry.
Jose.
Oh, sorry. Oh, my goodness. And we are parents to three beautiful children. We fostered our three kids and then quickly finalised adoptions.
Sweet.
Aww. Our daughters are twin girls who are now 4 years old, and their names are Margot Bean, Maggie or Beanie, love.
Do you?
Yeah,
Beanie,
I love it.
Beanie Baby.
Yeah, I love Beanie Baby.
Middle name Bean.
And Eleanor Otter, nickname Nora. Our son is almost three and he is named Ellis Atlas, nickname Eli.
We've just gone crazy in the middle spot.
And she's got some wild names there. She's got some, she's a crazy middle namer. We recently found out we are pregnant with a baby boy in September. We are really liking the middle names, Franco or 40. And we really want to name the name to start with M. I like Miles, but my husband is not a fan. My favourite is Max, I would like as a nickname, but I don't like the idea of the kids calling him names. MaxiPad,
which I've never heard as a nickname for Max. So somebody in her school must have been called MaxiPad, and it stuck with her. I've never heard that leap before.
No, nor me. I like more traditional first names with fun middle names. We can
tell.
Don't
you?
Please help us find a good name for our last baby.
So it's a brilliant family.
Brilliant family.
Three adoptions, now having their own baby. But I just can't believe she's got Margot Bean, Eleanor Otter, and Ellis Atlas.
I just love it. It's so sweet. They're just so sweet. Yeah, they're really sweet.
Are you...
Where are you going to go?
Well, I looked at the meanings.
Yeah.
She obviously likes a fun middle spot. So Margot means pearl.
Lovely.
Eleanor means shining, which is quite cute because those two are together. And then Ellis means benevolent, so kind of like kind.
Nice.
So really, really lovely. So I get that she'll have an M-E-E and then end the name with an M. It's quite unusual to have chosen your middle names first, but she obviously that's their wacky area. So she could have the name Maddox, which I really like as a name.
Love it.
And it means fortunate.
Yes,
which
gorgeous.
Really lovely meaning to finish up their family, their four kids, because obviously they've got a lovely new baby on the way. He was a legendary Welsh prince who in Welsh folklore sailed to the New World 300 years before Christopher Columbus.
Wow.
So that's where Maddox came from. It was originally Maddox. But I do really like that. I think Margot, Eleanor, Ellis and Maddox sounds good. But what struck me for the middle names is she's got Beanie, Otter and Atlas. So it's B-O-A. So I thought she could go with a middle name Boaz, which I know you're not so keen on. We talked about it before, David, but I think for linking the middle names to all the other children's middle names, it's got that kind of quirkiness, out there-ness, and it means strength, which again is a really nice
lovely.
Name. So she's got her middle name of Franco or 40.
I love 40.
He could be Boaz 40.
Yeah, brilliant.
And then it's not an M, but I just thought it was quite cute to link the initials together. And then the last one I came up to, which I really love, is the name Miller. Because it just felt like Margot, Eleanor, Ellis and Miller.
Yeah, lovely.
It uses the double L's, it uses the M's, it uses the E's, it uses the R's. And it's an it's an occupational name, of course. It's chosen by Stella McCartney. She's got a little kid called Miller.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
And it's similar to Max. If her husband
really
likes
nice.
Max, she liked Miles.
Yes.
Then Miller is kind
really,
of in the middle.
Yes,
and so is Maddox, to be honest. But those are my choices. But we're huge congratulations to you. So we're going to sign off, but just going to end with a drama. A drama for us. So we're not going to come up with name options, but somebody has sent us in a really tricky, and again, one of those where people are getting at her about her name before the baby's come.
Okay.
So she just wants us to say, should she stick with it,
okay.
change it, or what's our comeback
okay.
to this? So she says, oh man.
Mm, oh man.
I'm having a baby girl in May. She has been named since October. I let my husband name her because we do not like the same kind of names, and literally everyone has a problem with the name for one reason or another.
Yeah.
So when it comes to this, we've had loads of these types of dramas. Husband's picked the names and she's not even got involved in the name. And now he's obviously telling people and they're getting tons of negative opinions. So what would you say to the negative naysayers?
Not your baby. Don't try naming it. What do you think of that?
Like that.
Yeah.
Not to the dad.
I think that's like a headline or something. No, I just think, you know, stop telling people, stop inviting all the opinions, secret squirrel it around. If you've decided to let him name it, good for you. Couldn't go there myself.
No.
Because it is just going to put you off the name. I think stick with your guns. If you like it, if you don't like it, go back to the table and think again, because you will never like it. That's what we keep hearing. Because if you were never on board with the name, you're not going to suddenly get on board with
like
the name.
Like we're saying now. And people, like, that sort of sums up the whole podcast. At the beginning, we were saying you sometimes have a lightning moment for a name.
Yes.
The husband really likes it. You've gone with it. Other people are not going to like it for reasons that are very personal and subjective to them, like we've heard about. And it just means that it's not for them. It doesn't mean it's not for you. So come back next week where we will be solving more of your baby name dilemmas and dramas. If you want to get involved, you can leave your opinion. Names for us to put to Eilish in the ratings and review section here. Do give us a rating and a review. We would love that. And every single Monday on YouTube, you will also find new name lists from me, SJ Strum, for inspiration. And every single day, we are chatting on our Instagram, Baby Name Envy. Tons of polls and ways to get involved. And we'll see you next Sunday for another episode. Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.